Hey guys, it's Kiki and I'm here to review season 6, episode 7 of OWN's Ready to Love. This episode is called The X-Files. Alright y'all, let's get into it because this episode really... It was a lot and I'm not going to be on here yelling. At least I think so. I can't really promise anything. So we pick up right where we left off and Tommy's tabernacle with the ladies. Dakia is about to explain why she no longer wants to see Eric. Okay, she says that she doesn't want to date him anymore. She says that she was out with him and the guys and they were taking a group photo. He came from behind her and posed with her and she made a joke like, oh, is this a prom photo? And he was like, I'll show you a prom photo. And he touched her inappropriately. She said that he got very physical with her and that she no longer wants to date him, speak with him, have any further interaction with him as far as dating on the show. Yet she's still open to the process. So Tommy understands. All the other ladies are understanding, with the exception of Carmen. She has a shocked look on her face. Carmen and Dakia definitely have some beef or some smoke between them. And I'm just hoping that Carmen isn't that girl. Okay, I just hope the look on her face was really towards Eric and her embarrassment with wanting to pursue a relationship with him. So Tommy says he understands and he says that he wants to talk to Eric. So let me just stop y'all right there because I saw a lot of conversation going on Twitter, especially from Black women. All right, a lot of mature Black women. I'm not going to put y'all ages out there. And y'all seem to be very confused on the definition or the understanding of body autonomy and consent. Okay, because a lot of y'all were, well, she's always so overtly sexual with Clifton, but when Eric touches her, it's a problem. It was really disgusting to see Black women once again. I would expect that reaction from ashy-ass men on social media, but a majority of the tweets that I saw were from women, all right, Dakia's age, and I just can't wrap my head around why y'all don't understand when it comes to a woman's body, when it comes to anyone's body and their physical protection. You can be overtly sexual with someone and still give consent, okay? It's your choice to be sexual with them, whether it's verbal, whether it's physical. If she did not want Eric touching her in a certain way, I don't understand how y'all can't comprehend that she has that right to feel that way. So I'm going to read what Dakia, because she just recently got on social media. I think 2 weeks ago with the last episode, she said she had been trying to stay away from social media. And now I kind of see why, but I'm going to read you guys a screenshot of what she posted. Now, I don't know where she posted this. I found this on the Twitter. But I'm going to read for some further clarification for the people in the back who don't really understand shit about what she said. So let's see. Let me pull up the full picture because now the full picture doesn't want to come up because I'm recording. That's great. That's great. That's great. All right. Let me see if I can find it because I did read somebody their rights on Twitter. And I posted what she said. Okay. She said, first of all, we never kissed a few times. So that means that 2 weeks ago when he was telling Carmen that Dakia reached over and kissed him and leaned in and he felt obliged, I guess she's implying that that was not true. She says, first of all, we never kissed a few times. We had one peck of a kiss at the batting cage date and that's it. Nothing intimate. You absolutely grabbed my breasts with both hands. Others saw it and you previously admitted it. I immediately turned around, hit you on your chest and said, what the fuck are you doing? I'm a lady. You don't touch me like that. You just laughed it off and I avoided you for the rest of the day and hung with Tori. And yes, me asking if you were coming to the pier was so that we could talk about the situation. I was being cordial and said that we needed to talk about the situation. You responded, we have nothing to talk about. I didn't go to the producers. Someone else did. I was asked if I wanted to press charges against you or have you removed from the show. I said no to both. End of the statement. I don't know why every season we have a problem with the men on this show in physical contact. And it always seems to be when the cameras aren't on. So that just leads me to believe that we're not doing enough due process. I mean, we had not Sydney and Phil who just broke up, but Shiloh and Phil last season. What else happened the season before that off camera? But I'm very disappointed to hear that that's what Eric did. Like, he grabbed her breast. Like, don't do that. Even if you were meaning that in a playful way, you did that in front of a lot of people to cause me embarrassment. The fact that Dakia even said, like, she was asked if they wanted the show to press charges against him, and she said no. She didn't even want him removed for the show. We be giving you niggas a lot of graces, and I've had it. I have had it with the men on this show. I'm remaining calm. I'm using my inside voice, and I just don't understand, even in a joking manner, how you could think that was okay. Now, in the next scene that I'm about to review, we're going to have a conversation with Tommy and Eric, and, you know, Eric is not going to continue his journey, but it leads me to believe that Tommy knew he could not be on the show anymore. I feel like the decision was already made to remove him, but we're going to present it as, oh, Eric made the... No, Eric needed to go, and that was absolutely not okay. Eric, I'm so disappointed in you. These men on this show, y'all, it's a revolving door, and it's not just Eric that disappointed me this episode. We're going to get into some other men, but let's talk about him meeting up with Tommy. But before we get to Tommy and Eric's meetup, he lets the women know that this week they will be introducing their exes to the men on the show. And he specifically tells them to watch the confidence or lack thereof of the guys you're interested in. So keep that in mind when we start to get into these ex meetups. Joy says she's a little worried because Clifton has triggers that he associates with his past relationships. Clifton, you another one, my dog. You another one. But we're going to get into you shortly. So let's move on to Tommy and Eric's meetup. So we see Eric meet up with Tommy, and he says he's currently feeling a mixture of emotions, of pain. He doesn't feel good. He basically sets up what happened with Dakia the same way she did, but he doesn't delve into what exactly he did. He just keeps saying, oh, I did something that hurt her feelings. I disrespected her and I hurt her feelings. Her feelings were hurt. Not really owning what he did. And I mean, given what she said about him grabbing her breast, I understand why he's not really saying it, but because he knew he would be absolutely canceled if he just came out and said, well, I grabbed her breast. But he's just constantly framing it continually to Tommy as, oh, I hurt her feelings. I'm not ready to love. This is the end of my journey. Like I told y'all, I think the producers and production told him, you ain't got to go, but you got to get the hell up out of here. I don't understand why we're having this nice conversation. And he's just framing it as, oh, you know, I just realized I'm not ready to love and I need to work on myself and I'm not really ready to love anyone else. And Tommy, I just want to thank you. It's a lot of congratulating and, you know, patting on the backs. And I understand why it's being framed this way. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it. But Tommy wishes him good luck. And Eric is gone. Like I said, very colossally disappointed in Eric. Let's meet the exes. We have Joy and her ex, Sean, who I thought was pretty cool. Very insightful. Laverne shows up first. And I'm just like, why is Laverne here? Why? Him and Joy have zero romantic connection. You can tell with a lot of these meetings, and I guess on this episode and going forth in the future, they're just tossing. It's like throwing darts at a board and hoping something is going to hit. Because it's just like, why is this person here? Why is this person meeting this person's ex? We gonna see, honey. So Laverne comes up first, and then Clifton joins them. He's kind of put off because he thought that he and Joy were gonna have an alone date. But he already says up front that he doesn't believe that Joy's ex can offer any insight on what he has with Joy. Immediately, Clifton asks Sean, you know, do you guys still talk? And Sean is like, whoa, hold on. Like, I mean, jealousy is not going to get you far with Joy. Like, that question sounds like it's rooted in jealousy. And Clifton's like, oh, well, I'm not jealous. It's just, and based on my experiences, you know, exes, they can offer multiple things to someone you're still in a relationship with. Like, what did he say? They can be a head to cry, a shoulder to cry on, and then a dick to lie on. And I'm like, Clifton, grow the fuck up. Like, can we have an adult conversation for once? Like, him and Joy have zero substance other than their sexual, and I won't even say sexual attraction, just attraction in general. Like, can we have a real conversation and it not always be this petty shit or this teenage shit? Like, my charm with Clifton has worn off, and I just see him as a hugely just immature man. Like, I get you want to be fun and flirty and have all of this, but can we be serious? Because we are discussing a future relationship, right? That's why we're here. Not just so you can smash and go, right? But Clifton just really turned me off on this whole meeting. Like I said, Joy's ex Sean thinks that Clifton is being jealous, and he clarifies for the whole table that there is no romantic communication with him and Joy. They are strictly on a friend level. I think when they came in, Joy said that she hadn't talked to Sean in like a year plus. So Clifton opens up a little bit and he's like, oh, well, I've had issues with exes in the past and I ruined my marriage based on those triggers. So Clifton, that sounds like a personal issue for you. So Sean asks him, you know, are you in therapy? And he's like, oh, I've been and I still go. Do y'all ever notice, and it drives me crazy, like, the men never expound upon what is still going on in the healing process with therapy. They're just like, remember last season with, what was her name? Aisha, and how she would be like, you know, I learned this in therapy and I learned how to do this with my kids and my kids are in therapy. Like, the men on this show, including Demetrius, oh, I went to therapy. Okay, did you tell me what you learned? Are you still proactive? What treatment are you undergoing? Like, I just feel like they use that as a line to just get a pass on not having to explain much about themselves or to not open up. Like, just saying you went to therapy is not enough anymore, black men. But, you know, Sean is like, oh, I think that's great that you're in therapy. Joy thinks that it's sexy that Clifton said he's in therapy because it's such a rarity to hear a black man express that. Yeah, okay. Laverne really is just there for gets and shiggles. Like, I don't consider Laverne a factor, much like somebody else will state later in this review. He's a non-motherfucking factor, bitch. So Laverne is just telling Sean, well, you know, when Joy asks, you know, who's the best fit, you just need to say Laverne. And Joy is like, excuse me, it really doesn't matter what he thinks. I'm going to make the choice based on me. So Laverne and Clifton leave and Sean and Joy chop it up. And he just thinks that Clifton is more her type. He thinks that there was no substance with Laverne. Like, he's very superficial. He clocked him. He clocked him immediately. Sean thinks that Clifton is her type, but that he has issues and he comes with risk. Joy isn't really trying to hear. She's just like, well, he's someone who's going to stand on the edge with me. Joy already has her mind made up. Like she said 2 weeks ago to Demetrius, she's done trying to pretend to pursue everybody else. Clifton is her type. I just hope that she looks at these red flags and really thinks about what she's doing, because I still like Joy. I still like Clifton together. I just think there's no substance there for either one of them. Moving on. So next we have Carmen and her ex Marcus. Got a little salt and pepper. I was like, okay, he kind of fine. He's fine in a sugar daddy way, in a distinguished older gentleman way. And Carmen, even though I don't like you, bitch, I thought you looked really nice. You know, you had that nice little top with your cleavage out. You look really nice, honey. Anyway, she says that she is sad Eric has left, but she still has other options. So, of course, she's going to explore the other connections that she still has. I wrote down in the notes, her ex is fine as fuck. So, we have Paul and Donovan joining Carmen to meet her ex, Marcus. He asked Donovan what his intentions are with Carmen. Donovan says that he wants to allow her to grow. Paul says that his intentions is to make Carmen his girlfriend. The next level would be a fiance and then to be his wife. Really, Paul? I don't really believe Paul. So Marcus, Carmen's ex, is letting them know she's around a lot of celebrity athletes. It's challenging, you know, would you both be able to handle that? Paul is like, oh, well, you know, I've been around that before. It doesn't really faze me. Donovan says that he's confident. It doesn't really faze him as well. That was really all that it was to the date. Excuse me, I'm all tongue-tied. Like I'm still drunk. So both men leave. Donovan says that he's confident that, you know, he does not care about Carmen having these other connections here. He knows that when it's all said and done, she is willing to go home with him. Like, he can bring her home or something like that, he said. I'm like, Donovan, you're not really putting forth a lot of effort, but as we've stated before, the men don't really have to do much. Marcus says that he thinks Paul is soft. He says that he thinks that Donovan is the better choice for her and that he's more her type. I agree. I don't think Paul is soft. I think Paul was kind of both men seemed surprised. I guess they didn't know that it was Meet the Exes week, so they were both reserved and kind of withholding a lot. So I guess that body language and that attitude that they both were putting off made her ex think that, but it is what it is. Next, we see Ace and her ex, Devine. Devine is fine as fuck, okay? Devine is that nigga who would run up your credit score, or run it down, actually. You would definitely pay his bills. You would definitely put money in his Cash App so that he could come through and, you know, get the gas to come over and come, you know, see you during booty call hours. I just know. Ace, I don't know what you're doing on the show, okay? Devine, call me, okay? I don't know about that that tattoo on your neck that says Inspire, but I wouldn't kick him out of bed. Let's just say that. But anyway, whew, Ace. I don't understand why. And he looks like he's a little younger than her, so... I just know. I just know the sex hit. But anyway, Moving on. Laverne comes in first. Again, I'm like, why is Laverne here? But then I remembered that Laverne is a Marvel supervillain, and he already said that he is not leaving the show alone, okay? And that he is going to make Ace pick him towards the end. He already knows he's a winner. Okay, Shirley. Laverne says that since he knows it's already X week because he went on that date with Clifton, he sees another chair. He thinks that it's probably going to be Tori. He already is going to use this to his advantage and try to make the best impression, per usual. Devon asks Laverne if he's a jealous man, like on a scale of, what 0 to 10 or 1 to 10. And Laverne says he's not a jealous man. The score would be 0 because he could be standing in a room next to Barack and Jay-Z, and he could still hold his own. If it's one thing men gonna have, it's audacity. It's audacity. Tori arrives, and he's already in the mood. We know how Tori gets when he's... Tori's tremendously insecure, kind of like Clifton, and the men that are left on the show, the bar is in hell. He arrives and says he doesn't need to meet any exes. He just wants to see Ace have fun and eat some good food with her. All right. Devon is asking Tori, you know, what he likes about Ace. He says that he thinks Ace is real. You know, you could see it. She makes him happy. She's all peace and good vibes. Okay. Devon is asking Laverne, you know, if he has kids. He says that he has two girls, and that if Ace wanted to have more children or wanted to try for a boy, he's down with that. So he starts making jokes about them being naked together and him taking his ginseng so they can start practicing. Devon, I feel like he was being messy. He was like, okay, Tori, you know, because Tori was being more quiet, more reserved. Laverne was the one being more outspoken. He says, you know, Ace was an alpha. Tori, could you possibly be an alpha? I said, oop, not an alpha. Tori is like, well, you know, I don't really feel like a man need to be the alpha. Like, I'm fine just playing whatever role in a relationship. Like, I don't feel like you should dominate a woman. Really? Because you weren't exerting that same energy when Sabrina kissed Demetrius in front of everyone, and you were all trying to hold your dick and hold your nuts about you don't like to play games and you're not going to wait on an answer. And when she didn't budge and fold and to say that you were the top one, yeah, you weren't keeping that same energy. Nor were you keeping that same energy about dominating a woman when you went out of your way to kiss Precious on that date because you wanted to get back at Sabrina. But okay, Tori, I mean, we already know the answer that you're not an alpha, and that's fine. That may work for some people. But the date's over. Laverne and Tori leave, so Devon gives his opinion to Ace. Ace did say that she liked Devon's question, that she feel like he had her back. Of course, girl, he wants to have your back and your front all over again, and he could have my back and my front all over again. But basically, Devon says that he feels like Ace could lead Tori and that Laverne could lead her. Now, Devon, I thought you were cute, but you're giving me major Hotep vibes. And I mean, given with what you were saying and based on your appearance, it would seem on brand. So I've noticed on these dates with these women, they aren't really saying, oh, I like this person more and more. They're kind of leaving it on a cliffhanger, with the exception of Joy. We already know she's feeling Clifton. There was no need for Shirley to be there. But with Carmen, she doesn't really say who she likes more out of the two between Donovan and Paul when she was on her date with her ex. And we get the same with Ace. Like, I can honestly see Ace going both ways, but I already feel like Laverne has hoodwinked and hustled her, so I would think she feels Laverne more. Again, Ace, pass on Devon's number, his social media, because I just want to ask him about, you know, his butterfly locks. Moving on. Next, we have Sabrina and her ex, Milton. We're going to see Sabrina go on dates with Demetrius, and then another date, including Tori and Donovan at the same time. So let's get with Demetrius. He says he feels uneasy, but he says as he got to know her ex, Milton, a lot better, he felt okay. He notes that they look alike. They're both chocolate with beards. I was like, yeah, Sabrina, you got a type, damn it. Milton basically just lets Demetrius know that Sabrina is the type of woman who likes to be involved when making decisions. You know, she wants to feel included. She's very active in that. And Demetrius is like, well, he's not really used to his partners being involved in making major decisions. It's not a red flag, but it's a cause for concern with him. I'll just wait till the next episode, because we're going to clock the tea with Demetrius and his type of toxic masculinity and his type of, I'm not going to get into it now, but we're going to have a full discourse on it next week based on the preview. So that was really all to it with the date with Demetrius. Next, with her date with Tori and Donovan, both meeting Milton. Tori says that he's already not looking forward to meeting her ex because he does not have the energy to have three connections. Yet you had all this energy last week. Tori, I don't understand, babe. You're not being consistent. He says that he's the type of person that you would never know something's wrong with him when he's unnerved because he hides things with a smile. Again, Tori, you were one of the main ones in the first episode saying that you had been to therapy, I believe. So I don't think that's a good coping mechanism if you're still doing the work to be in therapy. But basically, Tori's being very quiet and very, you know, pulled back and closed. Like, these men are so insecure. It's laughable. Meanwhile, Donovan comes in all smooth. He brings her flowers. You see Sabrina literally light up when Donovan comes in the room, okay? Sabrina did note that Tori's demeanor is kind of standoffish, and she believes that his demeanor was a missed opportunity, okay? So she's already clocking that as well. But Donovan, he's being very present, very alive, even though I just said he didn't really put in a lot of effort. He says that, you know, he really likes Sabrina. She's his top connection, and he is interested in fully pursuing her. Now, he did ask her ex, you know, what type of man does she need? And Miles lets them know that, you know, because she is involved in social justice work, there are some risks involved, and she would need a partner that could understand that and be able to, you know, advise her on that in a way and be a support system for her. So I love that he was cognizant enough to recognize that, because I don't think we would put that into perspective of a social justice worker, okay? With all the shit we got going on, you know, you would think a relationship would be the last thing on their minds, but that must be a very, like, can you imagine being in a relationship with someone like that? It would take a toll. It would be a lot of energy that needs to be given and reciprocated. So I liked that her ex brought that up. He asked Donovan if he had to go home today, would he choose Sabrina? Donovan said, yeah, because she's his strongest connection. So that's the end of the date. Both men leave. Sabrina hugs Donovan goodbye. She's very giddy. She's very happy. And her ex, Milton, is like, yeah, I can tell you really like him. And she's like, yeah, you know, what do you think about both guys? And he is like, you know, Tori doesn't really fit her personality. And Sabrina wholeheartedly agrees. So I don't even think she is fully, fully interested in pursuing Tori anymore, nor should she be. He says that he feels like Sabrina could build with Donovan. Oh, he did mention Demetrius. He says that he feels like she could build with Demetrius, but overall, Donovan can make her the most happiest out of the three of them. So, Tori, you didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. Demetrius was probably too damn quiet on the date and didn't really give anything, but Donovan was asking questions, so I guess, you know, and like I said, they didn't really show which choice the women were making when they were having the end of wrap-up conversation, but Sabrina is leaning towards Donovan. All right, girl. Y'all do look cute together. And Donovan said that. We look good together. I'm kind of side-eyeing that because that's what Demetrius said. And I'm just like, well, what about Sabrina exactly makes y'all look good together? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I'm not going to go there. Let's move on. Next, we have Tina Christina and her ex BJ. They're going to be meeting Demetrius and Paul at the same damn time. Paul pulls up first and he's worried because BJ is young. And I'm just like, Paul, just because you damn near Methuselah, you know, not everybody's going to be in their 80s, Grandpa. But Paul is more shocked when Demetrius shows up because he had no idea that they had a connection. All right. So BJ gets right to it. He's asking Demetrius, you know, what makes you feel like you're ready to love? Demetrius says he's in counseling. So that's his answer. Y'all see what I be saying? Paul says that he's looking for his queen. Neither of those answers answer the question, but we gonna move along. Paul asks BJ how long have he and Tina Christina had a romantic connection. Now, he says they started dating in 2003 or 2004. Have y'all been, like, keeping up on social media? Like, people are convinced that Tina Christina is lying about her age and that she's not 31. And at first, I was like, y'all are tripping. Like, she looks like she could be 31. It could be the makeup. Whatever. But, you know, I started doing the math and I was like, okay, 2003. Come with me, people. Let's go back. Now, when he said, 2003 or 2004, they were like, oh, yeah, we were both met in high school. Now, 2003 or 2004. Okay, Christina, if you're 31, 2003 is almost 10 years ago. You are 31, allegedly. That would be you were 11, right? 9, 10, or 11. I don't know about y'all or what they do up in the Potomac area, but I started high school when I was 13, and that's granted I had a late birthday, so I was already behind. So 13 or 14, you start high school. Tina Christina, what is the truth? Were y'all in junior high? I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole, but I just think it's funny that there's this conspiracy theory that Tina Christina is lying about her age. But the 2003 or 2004, you definitely wouldn't have been in high school if you're 31. You would have definitely been in at least seventh grade. In high school here in the South, that's ninth grade. But let's move along. I just thought that was funny. He says that, you know, now Tina Christina's ex BJ, he came on here to tell all her business. He was like, you know, she can get upset, you know, she threw his phone once, she put a hole in the door. And she was like, well, you're not really saying why I did those things. Like, of course he's gonna leave out those reasons. And y'all know Demetrius, you got to be strict in line with him, honey. He don't like that. That's a red flag. He asked, you know, how does she do with communication when she's mad? And BJ is like, oh, she'll cut people off, you know. Now Demetrius gets from this answer that she ghosted BJ. Now I have no problem, especially me and my sag bag, I have no problem denying people access from me when they do me wrong or when I just don't want to speak to you. I have every right to enact that. If I don't want to talk to you, I'm not going to answer your text. I'm not going to call you. We will not communicate. So Demetrius is worried, okay, because he likes to talk through things. Can y'all sense my side eye? Okay, Demetrius, get the fuck on. Paul is learning a lot for this conversation, but he feels like Paul thinks everything that he says is so insightful, and Paul just likes to hear himself speak. He's like, you know, the one thing I didn't hear from BJ is that he didn't tell me that Christina was ready to love. Paul, neither are you. But anyway, that's the end of the date. Demetrius and Paul leave. BJ thinks that Paul fits her better. He feels like Demetrius is too conservative. And Tina Christina, who I feel has a decent third eye, she says that she doesn't believe that Demetrius is still working on himself. She says she doesn't believe that he's working on himself. And I'm just like, yes, thank you. Like, it's all a bunch of lip service. I'm in counseling and no, Demetrius, because you aren't putting forth any effort. You have not expressed anything about yourself that would let me know that you are ready to pursue a serious relationship. All you do is talk about what you don't like that women do. Demetrius, you can go home, actually. Next, we see Dakia and her ex, Terrence, who looked a lot like Joy's ex, what was his name? What was Joy's ex's name? Sean. They could be brothers. But basically, she wants Terrence to meet up with Clifton. And again, I'm just like, okay, I can understand her keeping Clifton on the back burner now that Eric's gone. Of course, Clifton is coming into this not wanting to do this. Y'all know how he feels about exes. He's going to say it 51 times. He don't feel like exes need to be in the picture. Well, guess what, Einstein? This is a dating show. This is an experiment. They're going to pop up. Of course, not in the real world. Regardless, like maybe they could have a friendship, but yeah, you're just gonna have to get through it, sir. It's not always gonna be rainbows and butterflies. Like, this is when I would need Clifton to boss up and to actually be an adult and have a backbone, but we just get nothing but childishness. I'm sick of Clifton, y'all. But Terrence asks him if he wants to get married again. Terrence asks Clifton if he wants to get married again. Clifton said that he's already been married twice. He's not opposed to getting married for a third time, but he needs to be sure because there will be no option of leaving. Like, nobody can leave the marriage unless they are dying. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, your whole mentality on that, grow up, Clifton. They don't really show, like, a deeper conversation going on with Dakia and Clifton, and I've been noticing that whenever they're on their dates, but silly me, I thought there'd actually be some substance because he was meeting her ex, but they're flirting and holding hands and touching. And Clifton is like, oh, I was doing that to make him uncomfortable on purpose. Like, I should have done that on my date with Joy, but I didn't. See, Clifton is, he's not understanding the assignment. And that's really the end of the date. We don't get a wrap up with Dakia and her ex Terrence. I'm guessing he had nothing positive to say about her and Clifton because they were just like, okay, commercial break. So let's take it back to the tabernacle, child. All right, the ladies are in the tabernacle. Tommy comes in. First things first, he lets Dakia know that Eric has decided to leave to self-reflect. Dakia, always being the class act, is like, you know what? I think that's best for him. Moving on, he wants to know how everyone's meeting with the exes went. Joy says that Clifton had an issue, but he handled it like a man. No, he didn't. No, he didn't, Joy. And it's the blinders for me. Didn't even mention Shirley on the date as well. Dakia says that she and Clifton have a strong physical connection and that it was awkward at times. Like, her ex is like, I'm still in the room. And I'm just like, yeah, because he was being petty. All right. A says that her ex, Devon, call me Devon, he asked good questions and it was a very eye-opening experience for her. Sabrina says that her ex liked one of the D's the most. We know it's Donovan, girl. Carmen says that her ex chose Donovan for her because he felt like Paul couldn't handle being in her world, but she says that's why he's an ex and that his opinion really don't matter. Carmen says that her ex liked Paul more. Did he say that? Wait. No. Tina Christina. See, my notes get mixed up. Tina Christina said that BJ liked Paul more. Okay. Tommy asked the ladies who they're not feeling. Dakia, Tina, Carmen, and Sabrina all say Shirley. Cabrina. Carmen and Tina Christina say that they're not feeling Tori. Joy says that she's not feeling Tori and Demetrius. She also feels that Tori is probably not built for this process and that it's a lot for him and that he hasn't really been the same since the truth or dare. She's alluding to Sabrina kissing Demetrius, or what did she do? She nibbled on his ear or whatever. He kissed her later though in the game, and Sabrina's caught rolling her eyes because she knows this bullshit. You know, not mad at Joy, but mad at Tori. So, Tommy is asking Sabrina, you know, have you noticed this change in Tori since you caused all that ruckus? And she's like, yeah, but he kissed somebody else, so it's really, you know, it's a motherfucking non-factor. And Sabrina says that she learned that, or she was told that Tori went out of his way to kiss Precious to get her back, and that prior to that, Tori was telling her, you know, he felt blindsided by her nibbling on Demetrius's ear and that he felt betrayed, but then he went around and kissed Precious. So she's not really buying it, and she says that it's a turnoff, period. Didn't I clock that tea about Tori? I tried to tell y'all. But as usual, Tommy lets them know that they have a major decision to make and that they each, or whoever decides to go out, you know, treat the men with respect like they always do. Let's get to the elimination dates because, oh Lord. So first we see Dakia meeting up with Tori. She says that they've been talking on the phone a lot, so she's actually excited to get to take him out on a date, and she hopes that he takes the feedback that she provides to him very well. I forgot to mention that Carmen said, even though she said she wasn't feeling Tori, she said that they had a lot of phone conversations. So, Tori, you thriving on the phone, but in person, it's a dub. He gets there. He's excited. He's happy to see her. And she says that he's been emotionally open with the women. Okay. But, you know, they still feel like there's something missing with him. Either way, they feel like he's still ready to love. There wasn't really a lot to the conversation they had, you guys. They just complimented each other the whole time. Didn't really give me any more insight as to why Tori should still be here. I think tonight should have been a double elimination. Okay? Tori, goodbye. I really don't see him having a solid romantic connection with anyone, but who knows? You know, these people will do whatever it takes to make it to the end, especially these niggas. Next, we see Shirley meeting up with Sabrina. Now, Laverne already has it made up in his head that Sabrina, Carmen, and Tina Christina enacted a plan to have him voted off the show to break up him and Ace. Okay, Shirley. So immediately, Sabrina is there to discuss this with him. Well, to discuss him taking his ass on home. So, all right, he said he's coming in a little heated because he thinks there was a plot against them. She goes in for a hug. He daps her up. And I'm just like, Laverne, let's not. Could you not be a bitch for 2 seconds? But Sabrina noticed. One thing I like about Sabrina, she gonna check you then and there. You may think she's quiet and meek. No, she gonna check you. And she's like, so I don't get a hug? Because, like, when we do meet each other, we do greet each other. You know, we at least have that much respect for each other. And Laverne's like, oh, no, we don't. We don't really greet that way. And she's like, wow, really? Like, why are you acting so ugly? And he's like, I already know why I'm here. You're going to tell me I'm not ready to love because you, Carmen, and Tina Christina, y'all wanted to vote me out. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, Sabrina had me rolling. She was like, Laverne has been such a non-motherfucking factor. Like, you are not that important for me to conduct or You're not that important for me to plot against you, my nigga. Like, where are you getting this from? Like, no, sir. So he keeps, like, he's being very combative. And that is already a turnoff for me. I was like, Sabrina, you're a better woman than me for going back and forth with this, for lack of a better word, person. Because the way I would have just gotten, I don't go back and forth with people, especially men. I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. And I'm glad Sabrina, you know, after arguing with him, ended up in doing that, because he wanted camera time, he wanted clout, and he wanted to go back and forth with her. And I'm just like, sir, why are you doing all these shenanigans? Like, take your L in peace and go on. You're not ready for love. But Sabrina gets upset because she can't believe that he's disrespecting her in this space and in this way. And she feels like, you know what, I just need to remove myself because he tried to punk me and make her feel little. And I completely agree with Sabrina, but I think some of the women are to blame because the first episode, y'all were lining up to talk to Laverne. You know, he had that little seat outside at the mansion and you women just kept coming up, and it made him feel a sort of way. He likes to be chased. You know, he likes women to come to him. So, not saying that this is all the women's fault. Laverne is a complete bitch on his own, but y'all see that ego, the male ego, honey. And when the women started exploring other options and when they weren't being active towards him, his attitude about everything shifted, and all of a sudden he wanted to go after Ace. Like, was it the pool party where Carmen first came through and he was being standoffish because people weren't, you know, falling, women weren't falling all over themselves to be in his presence, and he had a problem with that. So as Sabrina is leaving, and he's just like, well, you the one cursing me out. I'm not being disrespectful. You cursing me. Stop it. He decides to throw a little jab, and he's like, well, Precious told me about the plan last week. Precious told me. And I'm just like, I was so glad Sabrina didn't take the bait and didn't try to say anything against Precious, because in that moment, I did not believe Laverne. I definitely think he was putting 20 on 200, putting 20 on 10 and lying. We'll find out at the reunion, and I hope Precious comes to the reunion so she can light his little ass up and provide some clarification on what she actually, if she actually said anything to him, because Precious wasn't really feeling Laverne. So I have a hard time believing that she would have told him, oh yeah, they were plotting to get you out. No, Dakia said in the tabernacle on this episode that Laverne had a type of energy towards her, and she matched that energy, and she checked the hell out of him, and that was that. So, Laverne, please. Amanda, please. Sabrina says that she's just gonna go because Laverne is being a little spiteful. I know she wanted to say bitch, but a little spiteful, man. So she leaves. She removes herself from around him. Production is trying to talk to Laverne, and they're like, okay, so you do realize, like, now that you're not ready to love and you're going home, what about your connection with Ace? Because you were really into Ace. And he's just like, oh, well, you know, things happen. Exactly. Exactly. You were never genuinely interested in Ace. You just wanted to make it to the end. Ugh, such a motherfucking loser. He says that he's been doing this for 44 years. This was his last attempt at dating. And he's just going to take his dog and leave. And in that moment, I actually felt sad for Laverne. I feel sad for people that are not self-aware and don't realize that they are usually the problem. Because I guarantee you, Laverne, you are a girl dad, right? You're a father of two daughters. If you witnessed your daughters being spoke to like that by a man on TV, I doubt you would still have the, oh, well, that's just how things happen. Y'all see these niggas? But that is the end of the episode, you guys. I extended it because Own did not tell us last week that we weren't getting a new episode. I don't know how I missed that, but everybody was kind of shocked. I was happy to have the little week off, but that's all I have for the episode. Yulani asked me if I'm going to review Love and Marriage Huntsville. Hell no. Y'all, that show, like I said, it's a particular type of gaslighting that all the sorry ass men do on that show, and I don't have the time for it. Basically, I watched this first episode that came on of this season, and then I'm just gonna be watching my YouTubers review it, because when I tell y'all my blood pressure, Marceau, Martel, and Maurice, y'all not gonna do it. Y'all not gonna do it. Tisha is just as dumb as the day is long. Kimmy is once again moving the goalpost to accommodate Maurice. That nigga cheated. They all cheated. And that's just it. Martel in his two tiny shirts and sweaters. My nigga, can you not afford clothes that fit anymore? I can't do it. I will be watching Monique's DMV version of Love and Marriage. I don't believe I'll review it. Another show that I'm watching is Young, Famous, and African on Netflix. You guys, it's such a good guilty pleasure. It's reminding me of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, that first season is just, the drama pops off instantly. If y'all are watching that show, hit me up on my Instagram DMs and let me know what y'all think about it. Of course, I'm not going to review it, but I'm almost done. I'm probably going to finish the rest of that tonight. But thank you guys so much for rocking with me. I can be found at KDASHDIOR on Instagram and the Twitter. Again, if you guys are into reading, I have my at Brown Sugar Bookworm Bookstagram. All right, go ahead and give it a follow. We're about to reach 300 followers, I feel like. And I'm probably going to do another giveaway when that is reached as well. So make sure you're following me. All right, y'all. That was all I had for this episode. I will see you guys next week. Don't worry, we won't be off next week. A new episode will air. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.